Welcome to Faith for Living. First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga brings you today's teaching designed to apply God's Word to the struggles and challenges of our day, that we might have faith for living. Well, joining us today is Joel Trek. He grew up in California and heard his calling to ministry while working as a press representative for entertainment clients in New York City. While there, Joel realized that his greatest fulfillment came from teaching a weekly Bible study in Manhattan. Joel is a graduate of Westminster Seminary in Escondido, California. He's now the Minister of Outreach and Church Planting at First Presbyterian Church. Joel and his wife, Kate, have one daughter. And today, Joel brings to us a message entitled, Out of Our Mind, Into Christ, as we continue our series in Philippians. Today, we focus on Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and talk about what it means to have the mind of Christ. Here now is Joel Trek.
If you would turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to be continuing on in our series through the book of Philippians, and we'll be looking this morning at Philippians chapter 2, reading verses 5 through 11. And if you're following along in the Pew Bible, you can find that on page 980. It's right after the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Hear now the reading of God's word from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's go to God in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, what a wonder it is to read these words. What a wonder it is that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Lord, we pray that you would, as we study these words this morning, that you would make them come alive in our hearts. Lord, give us your mind. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see the glory of your salvation. May we be hearers of the word and doers of it. For we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When you stop and think about it, there are a lot of songs about people who are out of their minds. Here's what I mean. You think about it. Do you remember the song Crazy by Patsy Cline? There's, of course, Crazy by Kenny Rogers. There's Crazy by Aerosmith. There's Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. Some of you may remember the song Maxwell's Silver Hammer by the Beatles. Ozzy encouraged us to ride the crazy train, and Britney Spears had a hit with You Drive Me Crazy. I can't think of a specific Michael Jackson song about being crazy, but I really think at this point in his career, almost any song would work for that. Well, here in this passage, we have one of the most famous songs of all time. It's a song either written by Paul or Paul is quoting it, the way that sometimes pastors quote songs in their sermons. But what we do know about this song is that it's a song about being out of our minds. And more specifically, it's a song about being out of our minds and into Christ's mind. Paul opens this song by introducing it, saying in verse 5, Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So what does it mean to have the same mind as Christ Jesus? Is that even possible? And if it is possible, how might having the mind of Christ affect the way that we treat one another? How might having the mind of Christ affect the way that we're unified in the church? How might having the mind of Christ bring us great joy, even amidst the trials and troubles of this life, when it feels like the weight of the world is on our shoulders? Well, this morning we're going to attempt to answer some of these questions by looking at the mind of Christ Jesus through the eyes of Paul from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And what Paul is going to show us is that the mind of Christ, the mind that Christ had in himself and the mind that he desires that we would have, is the mind of a servant, it's the mind of a son, and it's the mind of a savior. God wants to change our minds. And the amazing thing is, he's the one who does the transplant. Let's go to the text to find out how. Okay, the first thing that we see here in this passage is that Jesus had the mind of a servant. Paul opens this song by giving us a rare glimpse into the life of Jesus Christ before he was even born. He pulls back the curtain to reveal the pre-existence of Christ, saying, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Jesus was 100% equal with God. Now, I'm going to pause a moment, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. Now, it may seem obvious to you. You may say, oh, of course. So, yeah, Jesus is equal with God. We all know that, right? Well, I think it's becoming less and less obvious in our world. A lot of times I read academic theologians. I read people who write books and commentaries, people who appear on talk shows, those talking head people. And a lot of the focus of what they say is, they say, well, you know, we all know that Jesus Christ wasn't really God. Jesus himself didn't claim he was God. His disciples, they didn't believe he was God. We all just knew he was a great teacher, and, you know, several hundred years after the fact, well, we thought he's such a great teacher that maybe he's divine in some way. Maybe he's God in some way. Well, Paul, in writing this, Paul, in talking this way in this hymn, he's saying that 20 years after the ministry of Christ, 20 years after he was crucified, his people were singing songs. And in those songs, they were saying that Jesus Christ is God. He was in the very form of God. He was 100% equal with God. It's what Jesus taught. It's what his disciples believed. It's what his church sang. Okay, Jesus was 100% equal with God. But even more than that, he did not seek to grasp hold of that exalted status. He didn't seek to exploit that exalted status for his own glory and his own end. He had something even better in mind. He had something even bigger in mind in his plan for the world. Verse 7, Jesus made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. In Jesus Christ, God became man. Think about the implications of this. The one who always was, the one who is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the great I am, the one whose very name predicates existence, the one whose name means I am someone, became nothing. The one who was the creator took on the flesh and bones of his creation. The one who was the great exalted king became a servant, became a slave, leaving the great palace of heaven to come to a manger. to become a homeless wanderer, one who would say, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Why? Why would he do this? Why the incarnation? Why the God-man? He did it because Jesus Christ had the mind of a servant. We read in 1 John 4, three of the most profound words ever found in Scripture. Three words. God is love. And God showed us his love by coming to this earth, by becoming a servant. Paul wants us to have that same mind of service. Paul wants us to abandon a mindset that seeks our own glory and our own comfort above all else. It's not an easy thing to do. I'm the poster child for seeking my own comfort and my own glory above all else. Here's an example. We got a new TV recently. My wife sent me off, said, go buy a TV. I went off to go buy a TV. I came home with a home theater system. Now, why did I do that? I just needed a TV. We were happy with the 20-something inch TV that we had. I wanted comfort. I like the fact that I can watch Bruce Willis movies in high definition in my own house. I like the fact that I can watch 681 straight minutes of Lord of the Rings trilogy without ever leaving my couch. In my pajamas. Eating ice cream. It's a wonderful thing. I love to seek my own glory. I enjoy the glory of serving myself. Jesus Christ gloried in serving others. And it's his mind that we're supposed to have and not our own. How might this look? How might this look in your life? How might this look in your church, in First Presbyterian Church? Well, this weekend we had a leadership conference here at the church, and we talked about what it means to be a servant leader, what it means to have the mind of Christ, which is the mind of service. So I'll pull some examples from that weekend. Consider this. Jesus Christ was a God who served people who were spiritually and physically unclean by the standards of the world. Maybe the mind of Christ in you is leading you to minister to people with HIV and AIDS. People who, sadly, are considered spiritually and physically unclean in our world. Maybe the mind of Christ in you is leading you to love and serve children. Jesus Christ served children. He loved children. He said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Maybe the mind of Christ in you is leading you to serve unborn children. Maybe the mind of Christ in you is leading you to tutor kids who don't have a mom. Maybe the mind of Christ in you is leading you to be a coach for a team of kids, many of whom don't have dads. Jesus was a God who served the poorest of the poor. And maybe the mind of Christ in you is going to lead you into the inner cities of Chattanooga, into the poorest areas, among the poorest people, to be what Isaiah 58 calls a rebuilder of broken walls. That's the mind of our Lord. That's a mind of service. Jesus Christ had the mind of a servant and the body of a servant. He healed broken bodies and he found lost souls. He healed them. Let that thought change your mind. Let that same mind of Christ be in you. Okay, Jesus Christ also in addition to having the mind of a servant, had the mind of a son. Verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Having become a man, Jesus Christ obeyed his heavenly Father, going to the cross. If you ever want to read something really just riveting in Scripture, go to John 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. In that prayer, you will find one of the most remarkable prayers ever recorded. It's a prayer between a father and a son. Jesus Christ obediently going to the cross, obediently saying, I will follow your will, Heavenly Father. Saying, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. Jesus Christ, having the mind of a son, died the most humiliating death that one could ever die. Notice how Paul emphasizes it here. He says, even death on a cross. Basically saying he didn't even have dignity when he was executed. This is the mind of Christ. The mind of a son who went obediently to the cross so that we could be adopted, so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we who were far off could be brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let that change your mind. Have this mind in you. As sons and daughters, we can trust God. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will be with us. Just as he was with his son, Jesus Christ. And let that trust, the trust of a child, fuel your obedience. Believe it or not, God doesn't just make up the rules as he's going along. He doesn't just pick arbitrary things and say, well, I want you to do this. This, not so much. He has a purpose for us. And we can trust that he wants what's best for us. Think about it this way. It's a hard thing to grasp hold of. It's a hard thing for me to grasp hold of. So if you're here and you're a kid, a young kid, just, you'll have to trust me on this. My daughter, if she had her way, would, I think, like to taste every bit of electricity in every outlet in our home. But we don't let her. Why? Because we're tyrants? Because we're arbitrary? No, because we love her. And we want what's best for her. In fact, I think if we let her have her way, she would experience everything in the world by putting it in her mouth. Whether that's a little bit of a fuzz that's on the floor, whether that's her dad's PlayStation games, whether that's her dad's shoes. And now that I think about it, her dad should really pick up more around the house. Putting that aside, I digress. The point is this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us the minds of sons and daughters. And we are out of our minds if we treat him like a tyrant, if we act like we're strangers in some unknown house rather than sons and daughters in the house of our Heavenly Father. Okay, Jesus Christ has the mind of a servant. He has the mind of a son. But perhaps most important to this, the most important thing I'll say here today, because I really think it's, at the end of the day, one of the main points of the whole Bible, Jesus Christ had the mind of a Savior. Verses 9 through 11. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The result of Jesus' service, the result of his sonship, was our salvation and his exaltation. Because he humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. Because he was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He was highly exalted, given a new name, a name that is above every name. And you know what? We get to be part of that choir. We get a new name too. Those of us who were enemies are now friends. Those of us who were dead are now alive. This is the mind of Christ. And this is the mind of Christ that needs to be in us. Let his salvation change your mind. We're out of our minds if we think that our greatest need in life is behavior modification. We are out of our minds if we think that all we need to do is serve a little bit more. We are out of our minds if we think that all we need to do is trust a little harder, to obey a little more thoroughly. We need salvation. We need the lasting peace and comfort of being united to Christ by faith. Anything less than that is like putting a $5,000 suit on a dead man. Sure, it looks great in the casket for a few minutes. But beyond that, what good is it? None at all. We're called to imitate Christ. But the only reason we can imitate him is because of what he did for us on the cross. Read verse 5 again. Look at it. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ gave us the mind that we need. It's his mind. It's his Holy Spirit that gave it to us. It's a mind that's beautiful. A mind that's brilliant. A mind that's poetic. Because it is the mind of our Savior. You know, I know a person who has the mind of Christ Jesus. I know a person who has this mind of service. I know a person who has this mind of sonship, a mind that trusts in God unreservedly, a mind that glories in obeying the Lord Jesus. A mind that has a song that this person sings in their life now, a song that they'll sing in the life to come. His name? His name is Paul. His name is Augustine. And her name is Monica. Her husband's name is Jim Elliott. And his wife is named Elizabeth. His name is William Franklin Graham. But his friends call him Billy. His name's Edward. But I call him Grandpa. He's an elder in this church. He's a deacon who ushered you to your seat this morning. She goes to the WIC Bible studies and her circle meetings every month with her two small children. She listens to the sermons on the radio because she can't make it to church anymore. Do you have that mind of Jesus Christ? Do you know your Savior? He will give you his mind. He will restore to you the joy of his salvation, filling your mind with comfort, with peace. He will give you a new name, Son, daughter and a heavenly home. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, it is my earnest prayer that we would, as a church, have the mind of Christ Jesus. It is my earnest prayer that anyone who is within earshot of my voice would hear you speaking to them right now, would have the Holy Spirit working on them, grabbing hold of them, and saying, "You are my son. You are my daughter. I have adopted you. Trust me." Father, we rejoice in your salvation. We cling to it. We thirst for it as a deer pants for water. Hear our prayer, Lord God. Be with us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Faith for Living is brought to you by your friends at the historic First Presbyterian Church in downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee. Through expository Bible preaching, living worship, loving fellowship, and compassionate outreach, we want to be a ministry of God's grace with lives transformed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have programs and opportunities for every age level, from the youngest to teens to 30-something to retirees. Join us for Sunday morning worship at 8:30 and 11. We're located at 554 Macaulay Avenue, across from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga campus. Visit us in person or on the web at faithforliving.net or call 423-648-7914. A copy of today's program on audio CD, cassette tape, or DVD is also available. When requesting today's Faith for Living television broadcast, simply reference today's sermon title on your screen or mention today's date. And we invite you back again next week at the same time for another edition of Faith for Living.